morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. And at 5 a.m., it'll be Steve Grzanich in the opening bell, followed at 6 o'clock by my main man, the best, Steve Cochran, for your morning drive. We've got Two for Tuesday going, but we're going to make it exclusively Elvis. If you guys are not aware, Elvis Presley passed away on this date in 1977, so it's been 39 years since Elvis died. Our first Two for Tuesday request came from Mike, and Mike's first Elvis song is Suspicious Minds, which is a great song. Now, I believe only two of us out of the four people that work on the show were alive when Elvis passed away. That would be me and Vic. Vic, you were very young, right? You were like six, right?
Yes.
Do you remember?
No, I don't. I remember growing up, my mother was a fan, so I remember that aspect of Elvis, but I don't really, you know, remember much.
Yeah. I was 12 when he died, so I remember. And like you, my mom, massive Elvis fan. Like, huge. And I remember my dad came home and told us that Elvis had passed away, and my mom broke down and just started crying. She loved him so much.
I believe that. My mom was a huge fan, and in fact, she kept the red scarf, the sweated red scarf of an Elvis impersonator for decades. It was just an impersonator.
Did I ever, Vic, I don't know if you have been around when I told the story about going to the Elvis Presley impersonators convention.
No.
I went to an Elvis Presley impersonator convention. This was back in 1991. And I met a girl there, actually, and we dated for almost a year. Her name was Leslie, and these Elvis impersonators were trying to pick her up. And one of them, more than one of them, actually said, "Hey, you know, if we get married, you'd be Leslie Presley."
I knew where that was going.
So that's what I call my ex. Her name is Leslie, but I call her Leslie Presley. And so anyway, I met this girl there, and it would have been a great, had our relationship, you know, lasted, and, you know, we got married, had kids and stuff, fantastic story on how you met. That's a fantastic story.
That's a good one.
Because you could describe the Elvis impersonators. You can describe the whole thing, like how she and I met, and the fact that, like, tons of Elvi were hitting on her. You know, one of the Elvi had a party in his hotel room, and everybody went up, and she brought me up to the chagrin of the Elvi who wanted to hit on her. And at the time, while I was there, it's ridiculous. I had a 1907 Cub jersey on, which is black pinstripe Cub.
Oh, wow.
And I had really long hair, a goatee, and a backwards Public Enemy baseball cap, shorts, and Doc Martens. So this is not the look of somebody who should be at an Elvis impersonators convention. And also not the look of the kind of guys that she dated before me. So I was, like, way in the minority, and because she loved Elvis and loved everything about him and liked more the clean-cut guy, like, you know. And there were some cute Elvi there. There were. And then me, this idiot with long hair and, like, you know, Doc Martens, and, you know, I looked like I was straight out of Seattle. I swear to God. And but this was before the whole Seattle thing really broke. This was in June of 91. So anyway, I go and I end up, like, meeting her. But there's some amazing stories. You mentioned, Vic, that your mom held on and onto the scarf from an Elvis impersonator.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for people who might not know, Elvis, during the later part of his career, when he was in the jumpsuits and stuff, when he was playing Vegas a lot, there was a section of the show where he'd have an assistant come out on stage with him, and the assistant had nothing but scarves in his hand. And he would put a scarf around Elvis's neck while he sang, and then he would bend over to the women who were in the front area, and they would take the scarf and they get to keep it. So they got a bit of Elvi's sweat. They got a little bit of Elvis's sweat. So he'd go through like 15, 20 scarves during this segment. And I can't remember what song it was. I think it was "I Can't Help Falling in Love with You." I think that was the song that he did it. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but it was during one of the love songs that Elvis sang, which, you know, there's only about 500 of them. But anyway, so that was a thing that he did. You know, and people out there, there are women out there who have actual Elvis scarves from these shows. So, of course, Elvis impersonators incorporate that into their act, where an Elvis impersonator will come out to the front of the stage when an assistant comes out with a bunch of scarves. The Elvis impersonator puts the scarf on and then gives it to one of the women in the audience, and that's what happened to Vic's mom. Now, they did this at the Elvis Presley impersonator convention in 91. The Elvis Presley impersonator convention, by the way, there were 365 Elvi there. 365, so one for each day. And I say Elvi because I believe that's the proper plural of Elvis. Is Elvi.
It sounds better than Elvis's.
Yeah, I always say Elvi. When I'm talking about more than one Elvis, it's Elvi. So anyway, the Elvi ranged from early, you know, skinny Elvis through his entire career to fat Elvis with the jumpsuits and everything in between. So there was like Jailhouse Rock Elvis. There was 68 Comeback Special Elvis. There was getting a little bit fat right before the jumpsuit Elvis, and then there's full-on fat jumpsuit Elvis. And I remember walking into the ballroom when they were performing, and there were a bunch of Elvi in the back criticizing whatever Elvis was on stage. They were back there, man, this guy sucks, man. I'm better than he is. This guy ought to get off the stage, man. I peed between Elvi in the bathroom, which was really amazing. And like that movie, did you ever see the movie, you guys ever see the movie Honeymoon in Vegas with Nicolas Cage and Sarah Jessica Parker?
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Dan, you've seen it, right?
I have, a long time ago, yeah.
How about you, Esmeralda? Have you ever seen it?
I don't think so.
It's a really good movie. It's very, very funny. And it takes place in Vegas, and the climax of the movie is an Elvis Presley impersonators convention is happening in Vegas, and Nick Nolte jumps out of a plane with a bunch of Elvi who do skydiving. A bunch of skydiving Elvi. That's how the movie sort of has its climax. But people thought that that was made up. People who saw the movie were like, oh, that's ridiculous. There's no such thing as an Elvis Presley impersonators convention. And that movie came out about a year after I was at that convention. And I was with my friends. They're like, weren't you at one of these things? Like, me and a couple of my friends went. And you're like, yeah, this is for real. So people who were going, oh, it's got this ridiculous plot, you know, that concerns an Elvis Presley impersonators convention. It wasn't ridiculous. It's real.
Did you at any point want to maybe put on a wig or just
well,
a little something?
We went there. There's no question about the purpose for us going, my friends and I going, was to make fun of it. I mean, there's no question about it. Now, I love Elvis. I love Elvis. But I didn't go there because I was excited to see Elvis Presley impersonators. I went there to mock it. I'm being completely honest with you. My friends and I went there to make fun of it. And that's exactly what we were doing. And so the big climax of the performance that evening was all 365 Elvi got up on stage. Oh, and this was the main point I wanted to make. Vic, there was a sign at the edge of the stage they had made. There was a big sign at the edge of the stage on a post, the edge of the stage, and I'm not making this up, Vic. The sign said, "Please, ladies, only one scarf per person." I am not making that up because women were fighting over the scarves of these Elvis impersonators.
So you had to make sure, but like, no, no, no. I want the scarf from the one Elvis,
that's
not
right.
This Elvis.
That's exactly right. So you can only have one scarf per person, and that was made very clear by the sign. Ladies, control yourselves. Only one scarf per person. All right, so the big thing at the end, and I'm not making this up, 365 Elvi on the stage, stage collapses. Boom! Sideburns, collars, everywhere. There were like five or six that survived. They were like teetering on the stage, still performing.
Did they win?
I can't remember whether there was like a contest or anything, but the big like climax was all the Elvi up there.
You know,
stage collapsed.
Early era Elvises were blaming latter era Elvises.
That's right. They said, damn collapse. Fat Elvises. Yeah. That's the problem. We could have all stood up. It was all Jailhouse Rock Elvis. We'd been at this damn stage wouldn't have collapsed.
Was there any Army Elvis?
Yeah, there was Army Elvis. I'm telling you.
Oh,
there
it's
were
like Barbies.
I'm not making this up. There were, of every ethnicity, there was an Elvis of every ethnicity, and that's also in the movie. In the movie, and they were like, oh, this is ridiculous. There's no way that there's an Indian Elvis and a black Elvis. you know,
hey, Elvis knows no colors.
Exactly.
Age.
Exactly. The love of Elvis and the massive talent of Elvis is not, there's no ethnicity there. So anyway, and then I ended up meeting this chick. It was a really great night. It was really great. Oh, the Elvi were mad that I took her home. Oh, they were mad because I walked out of the party with her. I was like, man, who's this long-haired idiot? The public enemy baseball cap on backwards. You know, public enemy, I don't know if you know the lyrics to Fight the Power. There's a lovely little lyric about Elvis at the beginning of that song that's not very kind to Mr. Presley. And then they go on to go after John Wayne. Like in that same lyric, they go right after, like Chuck D goes after Chuck D goes after Elvis and follows it up with John Wayne. Oh, God. And we actually didn't plan on going to it. Well, another little detail about that night. This is ridiculous. My friends, I went to a sneak preview of The Rocketeer that night. You guys remember The Rocketeer, the Disney movie with William Campbell and Jennifer Connelly?
I do, yes.
Okay, there was a sneak preview at the Norwich Theater. So I went. I didn't know what was happening on that Saturday night. It was a Saturday. I didn't know what was happening on that night. So I'm like, well, I'm just going to go to the sneak preview of The Rocketeer. I go see The Rocketeer. I go home, and my friends had called me and said, hey, we're going to go to this Elvis thing. You want to go with us? And so I went. So we weren't even planning on going. I was just wearing what I wore to see The Rocketeer. Otherwise, I would have dressed more Elvis-like. So anyway, Elvis Presley passed away 39 years ago. I want to talk about his movies. We'll talk about some of the television appearances he made and just your memories in general. And our Two for Tuesday this morning is all dedicated to the King. 312-981-7200 is the phone number.
On a cold and gray Chicago morning, another little baby child is born in the ghetto. And his mama cried.
Yeah. I believe that this is my favorite Elvis period. Late 60s, you know, 1970, right around that. I think that's my favorite Elvis period. Mike's second Elvis song on this Two for Tuesday dedicated to Elvis is In the Ghetto. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and it's Elvis. Elvis passed away 39 years ago today, so we're remembering some Elvis stuff. Now, Esmeralda, I know that you are in, you were into the Beatles and stuff. Was Elvis a part of your music childhood or no?
He wasn't. He wasn't growing up, but, you know, as I got older, I realized who he was and would listen to music and things like that. And now and again, I watch an Elvis movie.
Yeah. They're mostly bad. But some of them are really fun, but they're mostly bad. Have you ever been to Graceland?
I haven't.
Oh God. Oh. Hey Dan, what about you? Did you grow up with Elvis?
You know, kind of had a similar exposure to Elvis as I did with the Beatles because I forget which number one album came out first, the Beatles, right? Where it was just a collection of their number one hits. So, you know, my dad threw that one on when we were doing chores Saturday morning, and that was my first exposure to the Beatles. And then the Elvis number ones came out, and that's how, you know, I came to that. And, you know, there's always that famous debate about whether you're an Elvis person or a Beatles person.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was kind of funny because I was a Beatles person up until that point. And then at that time in my life, I started gravitating more to the Elvis stuff and more the peppy fun, you know,
yeah,
that stuff.
Well, Elvis, you know, he was the king. I can't. Have you been to Graceland?
I have not.
I've always said this. Everybody should go to Graceland at least one time. I've been there twice, and I have to say, to me, Graceland, the experience of going to Graceland and seeing it and going through the whole thing, to me, Graceland represents America like no other thing in this country. And I mean that. I mean the greatness of this country, also the things that are weird about this country, the health of this country, what's embraced the style of this country. It is, to me, the most American place that you can visit in this country. It is, it, for me, it represents, you go there and you go, you take somebody from another country to Graceland and go, this is it. You are now in America. This is what America is. And that's exactly how I feel about it. And I mean that in all its greatness and flaws. Whatever is awesome about this country and whatever is flawed about this country is represented tenfold in Graceland. And it's an incredible experience. By the time you actually get to Elvis's grave, I did the audio tour. The first time I went, I did the audio tour. So I had the headphones on and I did the tour. And I just started crying when I got to his grave because it's a very emotional thing. It's, you know, you're going through the house and everything and you're seeing all of his accomplishments. And then you get to his grave and, of course, they play If I Can Dream. That's the song they play, or at least, you know, years ago when I went. I'm sure it's probably changed by now. But when I went on the headset, If I Can Dream plays as you approach the grave. And that's my favorite Elvis song of all time and my favorite Elvis vocal performance ever. I think it's the best thing he's ever done. And I just, like, lost it. I found the experience to be really overwhelming. And I'm talking about doing the house. We did the cars. We did the plane. We did the whole thing. We did everything that you can visit. We did it. And then, like, just the areas around it. Like, we stayed at the Elvis. We stayed at the Days Inn. Memphis, which has the guitar-shaped pool and the 24-hour Elvis movie channel. We did the whole thing, and it was amazing. And I can't recommend that highly enough. If you've never gone to Graceland, you have to go. It's something that every person should do, even if you're not a big Elvis fan. It's remarkable. Here's Steve on WGN. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Nick. Hey. Before you were talking about how women are fighting over the scarves, there's this one album, a live one, I think it's from Madison Square Garden, where he's kissing all the girls, and you can hear them. And he stops, and he goes, "Don't get hostile, honey." And he's like, "You've already had it. I've already kissed you."
Yeah.
And that's a really funny one.
"Don't get hostile, honey." Yeah. Oh, you got to love that, man. You got to love it.
One more thing, you know, in the ghetto, Elvis almost did not get the rights to that, to record that, because the guy who wrote that song did not want to give Elvis that song.
Well, do you know who wrote the song? Steve?
I forget.
Okay. Esmeralda, you want, I can tell you this, because right before we went on vacation, we talked about this gentleman and his fondness for tight jeans and no shirt.
Oh.
It was written by Mac Davis. Mac Davis wrote In the Ghetto.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You remember Esmeralda? You looked him up, and he was in Cheaper to Keeper. And so, yeah, Mac Davis wrote that song. All right, Steve, thanks for the call, man. Okay, Elvis movies. I love this. The last movie that he was credited as being in was A Change of Habit. And that was, it was called A Change of Habit because it was Mary Tyler Moore played a nun. And she kind of had a crush on Elvis, who played a doctor. Like a, I think if I remember correctly, he was a pediatrician, if I remember correctly. So, but you know what his character's name was? I didn't realize this until I just looked at it, Dan. Do you know what his character's name was? He was Dr. John Carpenter. He's Dr. John Carpenter. The Trouble with Girls, Charo, Live a Little, Love a Little, Speedway. His names were always like, look at his names were like Steve or Joe, Guy, Ted, Ricky, Johnny. The thing about the Elvis movies is that some of them are fun. You know, a few of them are good. But I, you know, like, for instance, like Viva Las Vegas, you can't not love Viva Las Vegas, if not for just for Anne Margaret. I mean, that's alone right there. Oh, I have to stop talking. I was just going to keep on babbling. We got to do the news. All right. We got a break for the news. 312-981-7200. Elvis Presley passed away 39 years ago. And we're talking Elvis right here on WGN. The news is next.
Searching for you.
Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720. But boy, the requests this morning are all later Elvis. They're all late Elvis's career, which I'm happy about. That's my favorite time period for Elvis. That's cool. That's Dave in Wisconsin. His first choice for Two for Tuesday is Kentucky Rain. It's Nick DiGilio here on WGN. Today, 39 years ago, Elvis Presley passed away, and we're talking a little Elvis. So, Esmeralda, do you remember any of the Elvis movies that you've seen? Because they all kind of blend together.
Yeah, the one that I saw was Elvis was living in Hawaii, of course.
Okay.
He was a playboy of sorts.
Yeah, Blue Hawaii.
Oh, is that Blue Hawaii?
Yeah, Blue Hawaii. the Elvis movies that are good, I can tell you the ones that are, they're not a lot of them.
Okay.
Love Me Tender, the very first one, is good.
Mm-hmm.
Jailhouse Rock is terrific.
Mm-hmm.
King Creole is probably the best acted of Elvis's. You know, he's really, really good in that. Walter mm-hmm. Matthau's in that movie, so it gets a pass. Then it's a little while. I kind of like Blue Hawaii. And Kissin' Cousins is great. G.I. Blues is ridiculous.
Wait.
Kissin' Cousins.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. No, it's, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But G.I. Blues has a particular soft spot in my heart because I directed this play that my friend Scott Oaken wrote called G.I.'s in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a musical that was a total takeoff on G.I. Blues.
Oh, okay.
And we got to do all kinds of, you know, really fun stuff. And Scott wrote all the original music.
Yeah.
And it was and he played the Elvis part.
Of course.
It was great. So then there's Roustabout.
Did he do any serious?
Well, he dies in Love Me Tender. It's a Western.
Right, but does he do like one where you'd be like, wow?
Well, King Creole is probably the closest to that of any of the movies that he did. But here's a couple of interesting things about Elvis's film career.
Mm-hmm.
He was offered the role right when Elvis made the comeback special in 68, right at that time when his career, you know, because of these movies, he fell out of favor. Because what happened was, as you know, Elvis went off and he was in the army. So he went overseas.
Mm-hmm.
While he was in the army, the Beatles came to America and took over.
Right.
So the Beatles completely take over during that period when Elvis is away. Elvis comes back and starts doing these stupid movies. So instead of coming back and making a radical change in what he was doing, he did the same silly crap that he was doing before he left for the army. But the world had changed at that point because of the Beatles. So meanwhile, the Beatles are continuing to do amazing stuff that changes and grows and becomes more artistically relevant.
Wait, but they did silly movies.
They did, but Help is silly. Hard Day's Night's not silly. Hard Day's Night is a genuinely great film. You know, Yellow Submarine is goofy. It was
It's still on like, oh, it's. But I guess it's a different silly.
It is a different. Well, yeah, because Elvis's movies are bad.
Yeah,
I mean, Elvis made two movies a year for a while, and they were all crap, and they had really bad songs.
I guess they're hokey.
They're hokey, and on top of that, like, they're the same crap, and it was just, like, the songs were terrible. Now, as hokey as maybe Help is or as goofy as Yellow Submarine is, obviously the music's amazing. You know, like, but the songs that he was singing, hey, I don't want to cheat on you, but I'm gonna. It's stuff like that. So, but the thing is, when the comeback special happened, he was offered, this is an absolutely true story, he was offered the role that John Voight played in Midnight Cowboy. He was offered that role. The colonel said, don't take it, man. It's gay. It's a gay thing. Don't do it. It'll ruin your career. You'll never have a career again. And he wanted to do it. Elvis wanted to do it. Elvis was like, yeah, I mean, look at this role. It's unbelievable. And the Colonel Tom Parker, is like, no way you're doing that movie.
Colonel.
No way. And I personally believe, this is just my little assumption, if Elvis Presley had done Midnight Cowboy, and I think he would have been really good in it, because look at that part, that Joe Buck part.
Yeah.
He'd be perfect, especially at that time, and he was handsome and beautiful. Perfect. I think he would either still be alive today or he would have lived a lot longer than he did.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the course of his career would have so dramatically changed. Do you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Then, right before he died, Barbara Streisand came to him and said, want you to lose some weight.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to play the part opposite me in A Star Is Born.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, he never lost the weight. He was really sick at that point. So she finally, she gave the role to Kris Kristofferson. And that was another thing that he could have done.
Yeah.
You know?
And was his sick? And
that movie came out, the year before he died. So the movie came out in 76. He died in 77.
Yeah. So wait, was everything that was, he was sick, was that all just
pills, drinking, drugs? Yeah.
Okay.
And it was, don't even get me started on Dr. Nick. That's where the joke comes from on The Simpsons.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Dr. Nick was his doctor who would just give him anything he wanted.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's still going on. Look at Michael Jackson. I mean, all that.
Yeah.
These doctors are like, yeah, that's fine. It's a prescription drug. It's not dangerous.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So.
Completely. I mean, yeah, Prince.
Yeah, absolutely. It still happens. It's repeating. Mm-hmm.
There's money.
But I really do think that had he actually taken Midnight Cowboy, he'd either still be alive or he would have lived much longer. I really believe that. And I think he would have been damn good in that movie. Could you imagine him and Dustin Hoffman?
That's like, so crazy because I can only think of like him doing Hawaii.
Yeah, exactly. That's all you think. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I happen to be a doctor and you're a nun, baby. Take off your habit. What is that?
It would have been, that would have been amazing if he would have been able to pull it off.
Yeah. So it would have changed, I think, changed everything that would have happened. But Colonel Tom had an iron fist, man.
Yeah.
He really dominated what decisions, any kind of entertainment decisions or anything that Elvis made was almost entirely controlled by the Colonel.
Have they made any movies? Any Elvis biographies?
Oh, sure. John Carpenter, oddly enough, John Carpenter directed one. Not Dr. John Carpenter from Change of Habit, but my man John Carpenter directed the definitive Elvis movie.
Oh, which?
It's called Elvis.
Oh.
Kurt Russell plays Elvis in it.
Oh, all right.
It was a TV movie from 1978, but it's out. You can get it on DVD. It's available.
Right, but it's not like a...
No, it wasn't a theatrical film, but it got released. Actually, it got released theatrically overseas.
Okay.
Because it's amazing, kind of amazing story, because the night that it aired, it was on ABC. The night that it aired, CBS ran Gone with the Wind.
Mm-hmm.
NBC ran the television premiere of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Okay.
And everybody expected, and you have to understand that back in those days, you had to wait like 2 years for a movie to be on network television.
No, I remember.
Yeah.
I was still.
Okay, I know. I'm just saying, but it wasn't like today. Oh, yeah, you know what? I'll wait 2 months and it'll be on DVD.
I mean, I'm amazed that things are on DVD so quickly.
It's crazy. So it was a big deal. Like Gone with the Wind was a big deal. They would only show that movie maybe once a year, mm-hmm. maybe. So all three of those movies were up, and Elvis kicked all of their asses, the movie. They never expected it. There was some TV movie about Elvis.
Right. Oh, I have to see that.
It's terrific, and Kurt Russell's great in it. Shelley Winters plays his mom. It's a really, really good movie. John Carpenter directed it.
This might be a new topic for me to delve into.
There's also a terrific documentary that came out in 1981 called This is Elvis, which is one of the best documentaries that I've ever seen about it. There's a bunch of weird documentaries that aren't really authorized or anything.
Yeah.
But This is Elvis is a great one. And they do, I'm not crazy about, when I see a documentary, I'm not crazy about reenactments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the actors are playing. It's very America's Most Wanted to me. So but they do it pretty well in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But the footage of the performances of Elvis and some of the interviews, backstage stuff, has never been seen before in this movie.
Cool.
And that's called This is Elvis. So there's Elvis, the John Carpenter movie, and the documentary called This is Elvis. Those are the ones that I would highly recommend.
Okay.
Have you ever seen the comeback special?
I've seen bits and pieces. I know VH1 aired it a million years ago, and I remember watching it.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It really is. And it was, and it was like that perfectly timed thing. It was called the comeback special, and that's exactly what it was. Because, like I said, at that time, 1968, it's all Beatles, man, and Stones. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, Elvis comes out, does this one-hour show, and says, you know what? I still kick ass. I'm still cool. So...
Did you ever see the, they did the, from that Drunk History
thing,
they did the Elvis, and it was Jack Black.
Exactly.
As Elvis.
That's right.
Like, that's my only
That's
background.
Your only, oh, is that it?
Like, true background. Like, I know, like, what he did. Yeah, he did this, he went to the army
so
and all that.
So Drunk History is your...
But that's, like, the one thing where I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That show, by the way, is hilarious.
Oh, no, it's so great.
That show is hilarious. It really is funny. So, all right, we got more Elvis to talk about. If you guys want to jump in, 312-981-7200 if you have favorites, Elvis songs or stories or anything like that. We'll talk a little bit more about Elvis's TV appearances, too. There are some legendary ones, obviously. So we'll get to that in a minute, too.
Oh, why can't my dream come true?
Wow, Dave, thanks, man. We're lost in a cloud. His second pick for this morning, and the last Elvis song that we're going to play as a bump, is my favorite Elvis song of all time, If I Can Dream, which, of course, made its debut during the Elvis Comeback Special. Elvis passed away today 39 years ago, and we're remembering some of that. During his lifetime, Elvis Presley made 15 high-profile national TV appearances. 11 of them came in 1956. So he only made 4 appearances outside of 1956, like high-profile TV appearances. The first 6 were on Stage Show, which were hosted by Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey, and they were in the first 3 months of 1956. The following 2 were at the Milton Berle Show on April 3rd and June 5th, and Steve Allen featured him on July 1st, and then the 3 legendary Ed Sullivan appearances.
Okay, yeah.
But what people forget is that, I didn't remember the Stage Show thing, but Milton Berle was the first guy, the first really, popular guy on television to put Elvis on. Everybody always goes, oh, it was Ed Sullivan, but Milton Berle and Steve Allen did it first.
Did he perform?
Yeah.
Or did they just...
He came out and they would do if I remember correctly, they interviewed him and then they did wacky bits around Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
He would come out and in one appearance they had a hound dog out with him because he sang Hound Dog.
I think I've seen a clip of that.
Yeah. So they did really corny crap when he was on.
When he performed, did he do the whole hip swaying thing?
No. They made the cameraman move in. He couldn't do it. At that point, he was known as Elvis the Pelvis.
Okay.
And when he was on Ed Sullivan.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't that the huge thing?
There was a big controversy about him. And he was the devil at that point. He was oh, man, he's gonna corrupt everybody on the planet because he moves his hips. there were a lot of things that happened on Ed Sullivan. The Stones had to change the lyric, let's spend the night together.
Right, yes.
To let's spend some time together. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of rules that were put on in TV at that time. And so Elvis, they could only shoot him from the waist up.
Yeah. See, it's just funny to think that Ed Sullivan isn't the first one because that's the one everyone has always points out.
And it's true of the Beatles. And I think they just kind of assume that Elvis's first big break was on Sullivan because the Beatles had their first huge break.
Mm-hmm.
And then after he did a thing after leaving the army, he was on a Frank Sinatra special in 1960. And then after that, it was all movies and until the comeback special. And then after the comeback special was the Elvis Aloha from Hawaii, which was April 4th, 1973. And I vividly remember watching that with my mom. And if I remember correctly, it was a really huge deal because it was satellite. It was people all over the world were watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a big, big thing.
Was he still touring?
Yeah. Yeah, in 73. In the 70s, he toured a lot.
Oh.
He toured a lot in the 70s. That was the jumpsuit phase.
Right,
he started getting bigger and bigger, both physically, you know.
So he did his comeback special, and then he started...
Yeah. He did his comeback special. He did the stuff that we just heard, Kentucky Rain.
Mm-hmm.
He was cutting some really interesting stuff. But again, he was in the shadow of the Stones and all that. And so he started to do sort of the nightclub circuit. And that's when he developed sort of the Vegas-y Elvis mm-hmm. thing. And then towards the end of it, he was just playing Vegas.
Okay.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. We got some texts here. Joe says, when Elvis was in the army and found out one of the bases he was on didn't have a place to listen to music, he built one on his own money. Okay.
On his own what?
Money.
No, it's just the way you said it. It's just sort of money.
Money. Money, man. I build it with my own money. You tend to talk like that when you're talking about Elvis. 815 area code says the kid Elvis impersonator in Honeymoon in Vegas is Bruno Mars. What? I did not know that. The kid? Oh, my God. That's crazy. Thank you, 815 area code. That's Bruno Mars. I got to go back and watch that now. Harold says, it happened at the World's Fair, features a 10-year-old Kurt Russell. That's absolutely right, who years later would play Elvis.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah. And 773, did you know that the only Elvis movie where he didn't sing was Charo? I didn't realize that either. I'm trying to remember what Charo is about. It's a Western. Charo was a Western.
It's
not about Charo, Gucci Gucci Charo. No, it's not. It's not a biopic of
Charo,
of
the movie.
Gucci Gucci. By the way, Charo rules. Have you ever seen her play guitar?
No, she's. Oh my gosh, she plays Spanish guitar and it's gorgeous.
Amazing.
And, yeah.
to this day.
She's, I don't know what, I remember watching Surreal Life and they were, she was saying like, yeah, no, I've been trained in this and that. And it's like, what?
Oh no, she's amazing. Yeah. I mean, she's just basically known for going on the Tonight Show and going, Gucci, Gucci. And then, you know, doing Hollywood
then you
Squares.
You get her
playing the flamenco yeah. guitar and you're like, what the hell?
Gorgeous.
Amazing.
And she still looks amazing.
Yeah.
I don't even know how old she is.
Man, she's got to be
knows?
80, right?
I'm going to say she's a Highlander. I'm just going to say that. She's a Highlander.
Well, you know there can be only one.
Yeah, there's only one Charo.
As long as they don't chop her head off, she's okay. Dan, can we find out how old Charo is?
According to this, she is 65.
No.
I would not have. I mean, I would have guessed that, but she does not
65?
Look at all. She doesn't look it at all.
Why do I think she's much older than that? Because she's been around as long as I can remember.
Yeah, we've seen her in so many things that you just...
Was she like a child star? Was she a... She had to have been a prodigy, right? Probably?
According to... here we go. Controversial.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. The official line from the Charo camp is 51.
Oh, no. I'm 51 years old. There's no way that Charo is 51.
Born in 51.
Okay.
but her naturalization papers state that her birthday is 1941.
That makes more sense. 75?
Yeah.
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. She's in her 70s. Easy.
Which still, I'm like, what?
No, she looks fantastic.
Yeah, she's kind of like Betty White in the sense that she's just been around forever.
Yeah.
Can't imagine, like, no Charo. I just can't. A world without Charo.
By the way, the last number one hit that Elvis had was Suspicious Minds in 1969. But then, remember, Dan, when they re-released, they did that mix. What the hell is the name of the song? Why can't
A Little Less Conversation.
That hit number one, if I'm not mistaken.
According to the site I said, it did not reach number one.
Oh, really? Oh, God, it felt like it.
It did chart, but not number one.
Were you working with Steve and Johnny when that came out?
No.
Oh. Because they played it every night, man.
I mean, that's a good remix.
It's awesome. It's fantastic. Okay, we're coming up on 5 o'clock, and that means it's time for the opening bell, and let's find out what's happening on the show. Here's Steve. Hey, Steve.
We're going to have a peanut butter banana sandwich
in honor.
I feel like I've been on an episode of The Love Boat for the last hour.
Charo,
Elvis, all of the favorites.
Yeah.
But hey, have you given to Kickstarter in the last year? Have you ever supported a Kickstarter project?
Yes, I think. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Easily. Two or three. Yeah.
You won't believe the impact you're having on the economy. There's a new independent study out that shows how much of an impact Kickstarter is having on creation of jobs and also with putting things into the economy. We're going to be talking to Kickstarter, one of the people at Kickstarter next, about this. It's going to blow you away.
That's cool.
All right. Next to the opening bell.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Bye. Have a good day. All right. So do you have a favorite Elvis song? Is there anything that stands out for
In the ghetto.
In the ghetto rules. It does. How about, let's see, I'll whip out a few names for you. How about, Are You Lonesome Tonight? Yeah. Come on.
See, and I like him. I like the older, or
the era that we were talking
young
about.
Young Elvis.
Right? Oh, you like young Elvis?
Yeah, I like young Elvis. Cause, I mean, I like young Beatles, too.
Well, In the Ghetto is not young Elvis.
I know, but I like all that. Are you
How about it's
song?
Now Love or never?
Those are great. But
yeah.
No, I do like In the Ghetto, I think, because they talk about Chicago.
Yeah. Mac Davis with his pants.
And that guitar, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a guitar.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah. How about Love Me Tender, Hound Dog, Don't Be Cruel, Heartbreak Hotel, I Want You, I Need You, I Love You.
Oh.
Great stuff. A Big Hunk of Love. Surrender, that's a great song. Good Luck Charm. Come on and be my little good luck charm. Return to Sender. How about You're the Devil in Disguise?
Oh, yes.
Jams.
Love that one. Yeah. That's a great one.
Lots of great songs. He was the king and passed away 39 years. I can't believe it was 39 years ago. So, all right. Hail to the king, baby. And by the way, coming full circle, Bruce Campbell played him.
Oh, yeah, Bubba Hotep.
In Bubba Hotep. I have to stop the show
you
now.
Tied it.
I tied it all up into a bow.